If you're a woman, you probably have a voice inside your head that whispers, "Why can't you be happy with what you've got? Don't you have enough already?" Or perhaps, even though you're very successful, you hear that voice warning, "Watch out, don't get pushy." This voice probably talks the loudest when you're thinking about asking for something you want, a raise, a better title, more power or responsibility, or even more help around the house. And the odds are you listen to this voice. You may think it's the voice of experience, or maybe your common sense preventing you from doing something rash. Or perhaps you think you should be grateful for what you've got. You should feel lucky and not screw things up by reaching for more. We want to help you talk back to that voice. Because that voice is not the voice of experience, and it's not your common sense. It's not even your voice. It's the voice of a society that hasn't progressed nearly as far as we'd like to think. A society that's still trying to tell women how they should and shouldn't behave. If you have that voice in your head, whoever's voice it is, that voice is holding you back. It's slowing you down. It's damaging your self-esteem. And it's costing you money. It's preventing you from discovering the ways in which negotiating effectively can be an extraordinary tool for transforming your life. We know that this is true, that women don't ask for what they want and need and suffer severe consequences as a result, because we've spent years studying the phenomenon. In the mid-1990s, Linda was serving as the director of the PhD program at the Hines School, the Graduate School of Public Policy and Management at Carnegie Mellon University, where she teaches. One day, a group of female graduate students came to her office. "Why are most of the male students in the program teaching their own courses this fall?" the women asked, while all the female graduate students had been assigned to act as teaching assistants to regular faculty. Not knowing the answer, Linda took the students' question to the associate dean in charge of making teaching assignments, who happened to be her husband. His reply was straightforward. "I'll try to find teaching opportunities for any student who approaches me with a good idea for a course, the ability to teach, and a reasonable offer about what it will cost," he said. More men ask. The women just don't ask. Linda realized with chagrin that she'd been perpetuating discrimination, the last thing she wanted to do, simply by not noticing how much more often men asked for things that would help them get ahead. And the discrimination she'd perpetuated could have far-reaching consequences. Men with teaching experience would have meatier resumes and appear better qualified when they entered the job market than women who did not. The social scientist in Linda perked up. She'd spent almost 10 years teaching negotiation to students, salespeople, business executives, scientists, physicians, lawyers, and women's leadership groups. Did this difference in the rate of asking between her male and female students indicate that women weren't using negotiation to promote their careers as much as they could be? Was this a problem that contributed to the unequal treatment of women throughout their adult lives? Linda turned to the existing research about gender differences in negotiation to find out. What she discovered surprised her. This large body of research looked almost exclusively at how men and women behave when they're negotiating. No one had taken a step back to look at what motivates people to negotiate in the first place, and, more significantly, whether men and women use negotiation to advance their goals at the same rate. Eager to learn more, Linda and several colleagues launched a research program to explore these questions. She and her collaborators invited men and women into their research lab, asked them to play carefully designed games, and observed whether they used negotiation to improve their positions. They sent graduate students armed with questionnaires to airports and shopping malls. They designed experiments that explored the emotions people associate with negotiation. They created a huge web survey to poll people of every age and economic group, from the lowest skilled to the highest paid professionals, about their attitudes toward negotiation. This survey asked participants about how and when they used negotiation and about the types of situations in which they felt they could negotiate. the bottom line. In every study, Linda's team found clear and consistent evidence that men initiate negotiations to advance their own interests about 4 times as frequently as women do.